You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Discover your new roads in a Chevrolet this August. Rates as low as 0% for 84 months OAC, only at Lakewood Chev. Luke Jones joins us, the beat reporter for the Baltimore Ravens at WNST. Luke, of course, the interesting story right now is the young quarterback, and will he push Joe Flacco? And I don't know if you can glean much from a preseason game or not, but Joe Flacco the last few years has not been very good. Everybody says he looks better, he's in better shape. What's your expectations of Flacco, and how short of a leash, if any, do you think he's on?
I think he has a leash that's going to be quite long, actually, as it relates to 2018. Now, after that, I think it remains to be seen. But I think by all accounts, Joe Flacco is the Ravens quarterback this season. I think he looks healthier. He's had a really good spring and summer. The Ravens have, for the first time in several years, really made a concerted effort to put better talent around him, which is kind of the dirty little secret that a lot of people who like to bash Joe Flacco, and yeah, you look at the numbers and he hasn't played very well, and he does need to be better. There's no question about that, but the talent level and the commitment to putting a good offense around him just hasn't been there on any consistent basis. I think the Ravens have made a concerted effort this year, and I think it's reflected in how they've looked to this still early point. But I think all of those variables, coupled with the fact that as talented as Lamar Jackson is, I think anyone who's watched him on a daily basis in Owings Mills, where they train, and anyone who's seen him in the first couple preseason games, you see the potential, but he certainly doesn't look like someone who's ready to step in and be an NFL quarterback and lead a team to the playoffs. So I think for any scenario for Flacco to be replaced by Lamar Jackson this year, short of an injury, of course, I think you'd be looking towards maybe the Ravens are 4-7 entering the final month of the season, looking like they're out of the playoffs. Presumably their offense hasn't played well to that point. And then maybe it's the Lamar Jackson show at that point. But I really, as much as so many people that loved watching this guy play at Louisville and saw him win the Heisman Trophy 2 years ago are trying to create this narrative of a quarterback controversy, I just don't think there is one right now. Now, after 2018, that's when things could get very interesting on a number of levels.
Luke, Connor Halley here, and I want to stick with the quarterback room there. Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson obviously kind of taking all the headlines, but Robert Griffin III there, he went 5-for-7 last night against the Rams, threw a touchdown pass. Does the team think about keeping three quarterbacks on the roster and having a guy like Robert Griffin III potentially as that mentor for young Lamar Jackson?
I think there's a thought to that. I think it's very important to understand the Ravens haven't kept three quarterbacks going back to 2009. This was a team that had a rookie Tyrod Taylor back up Flacco in 2011 when the Ravens were maybe not the Super Bowl favorite, but were among the top five Super Bowl aspiring type teams. So it kind of shows that they haven't been a team that has traditionally emphasized the backup quarterback under Flacco. Now, clearly, with him not playing as well the last few years and the team not playing as well and selecting Lamar Jackson in the first round, it shows that there could be a shift of thinking. But I think if they're to keep Griffin, it's much more an indictment on a lack of confidence in Lamar Jackson to at least be an adequate backup in 2018. I think he's shown enough to at least think that if he has to come in and play for a game or two, that the Ravens could maybe you have to use smoke and mirrors, but could probably still win a game or two and keep themselves afloat if Flacco's not going to be in the lineup for a couple weeks. If he's going to be out long-term, Robert Griffin III is not leading them to the playoffs. So in that scenario, you're better off just playing Jackson anyway. So I'm not this has been a major topic of talk radio here in Baltimore the last couple weeks. So with Griffin looking pretty good against the Bears last week, I thought he was okay against Los Angeles last night, but I'm not really in that camp, that school of thought that he's in serious contention for a roster spot unless we really see a lot of regression with Jackson. But your point as far as him being a mentor, I think that was absolutely something they envisioned when they signed him earlier this offseason, and certainly he's been a nice fit as far as mentoring and offering some advice to Jackson, as those two have a similar background, a highly acclaimed college quarterback, similar skill set, and I think they're hoping that Griffin can offer Jackson some advice to avoid some of the pitfalls that unfortunately have impacted his career.
Luke Jones of WNST in Baltimore joining us discussing the Baltimore Ravens. I want to look at the receivers right now, and I mean, it's pretty well documented the inability of the Ravens to get, you know, draft and develop receivers in the past. Of Breshad Perriman was a first-round pick a few years ago. But they go out and they bring in some guys who have got it done elsewhere. Willie Snead from the Saints, Michael Crabtree from the Raiders, and John Brown from the Cardinals. Is there optimism around that wide receiver group this year?
I think there is, and I don't think anyone has any false designs that this is going to be a great, explosive passing game. I think there's a realistic thought, at least from outside observers, that perhaps they can just have a solid, an average passing game, which is something they haven't had the last few years. Far from it. They haven't come close to that. I think you do have to be realistic and say, well, Michael Crabtree's coming off of a down season. That's one reason why he's not with the Oakland Raiders anymore. John Brown, since his 1,000-yard season 3 years ago with Arizona, where he looked like he could be the heir apparent to Larry Fitzgerald one day, hasn't been able to stay healthy. But you see the skill set with those two. Willie Snead, I think, is going to be a productive slot receiver. He was for Drew Brees before the off-field issue with the DUI last year and then a hamstring injury that kind of made him fall out of the loop there as the Saints went to more of a ground control offense than they've had in previous years. So I think all three of them bring intriguing, differing skill sets, which is something that they haven't had in their passing game. They haven't had that diversity. And I think there's enough upside there to be cautiously optimistic. And also they drafted Hayden Hurst, the tight end out of South Carolina, in the first round. I think there's a thought that there's certainly more upside for this group to be functional and productive and be more complementary to the defensive side of the ball, where they were pretty good last year overall. I think there is optimism, even if there's some acknowledgement that they are counting on three guys here to bounce back. If they can get at least two of them to bounce back, I think this passing game will be in much better shape than it's been in the last two or three years.
Looking at that defense, some great names there. You've got Terrell Suggs, Eric Weddle, Jimmy Smith. Guys are starting to age, but then you've got a stud at middle linebacker and C.J. Mosley. Is this the defense that is expected to be in the top 10 in the statistical categories here?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have very high expectations. I mean, if you look at the Ravens' defense last year, it wasn't until late in the season when they lost Jimmy Smith to the torn Achilles. He was on his way to being a Pro Bowl cornerback. And I've said that, we've said that here in Baltimore probably three or four different times with Smith. I mean, injuries have just afflicted what's been a very talented player. But the thing that's impressive about the Ravens, they led the NFL in takeaways last year. They had three shutouts. Yeah, if you look at the schedule, they had a favorable schedule. They faced some rookie and backup quarterbacks. There's no question about that. But this is a team in the salary cap era where we know that roster turnover is inevitable. They are bringing back all but one player to play a single defensive snap last year. Ladarius Webb, their nickel corner for the first half of last year, is the only player that played a single snap for them last year not to return for the Ravens. That is a boatload of continuity that you just don't have in this day and age. So with the veterans that you mentioned, with some of the ascending players they have, they've spent quite a few early draft picks over the last two or three years on some other guys that they're hoping will pop. Matt Judon was a guy who took a step forward last year. He's their Sam outside linebacker on the opposite side of Suggs. They're looking for big things from a few more young draft picks that haven't really had their chance. I think there's a lot of upside. They still have to stay healthy. I still think they're hoping one more young pass rusher can pop to kind of ease some of the load on Terrell Suggs, who's 35 years old. But I think there's a lot of optimism that that defense should be a top four, top five caliber defense. And you know, the big question mark will be, they do have a new defensive coordinator, Don Martindale, who's been their linebackers coach for the last 6 years. Very popular with the players, has a lot of ties to the Buddy Ryan tree, so to speak. Good friends with Rex and Rob, and he's worked with some of those guys in the past. There's a thought that this defense could be a little more aggressive, and that was a criticism of Dean Pease, their former defensive coordinator.
One last one for me, Luke. Ozzie Newsome, final year as the GM of the Baltimore Ravens, kind of a unique situation. How is that going to work? Is he going to, you know, relinquish duties slowly during the year? Is it going to be a group effort, or is he 100% in charge? And how do you think that impacts it when everybody knows he's not going to be there next year?
He will be 100% in charge until next January. That's been the plan. And their right-hand man, their assistant general manager, Eric DaCosta, A plan has been in place for the last 5 years that he would be the heir apparent. DaCosta has been paid as well, if not better, than many general managers around the league. He's been one of those names that in the offseason you've heard every year about some team trying to interview him, some team trying to hire him away, and he's wanted to stay in Baltimore. But he and Ozzie Newsome are they're close. They're best friends. They have a very great working relationship and have for a long time. There's no question right now. It's still Ozzie's roster, so to speak, but Eric has had plenty of influence over the last few years. He's handled more free agent negotiations than in the past, and they've been grooming him for a while. So I think as it pertains to a GM in waiting type of situation, which sometimes that can be awkward in various sports when we've seen that play out, this is one where they have such a good working relationship, and the plan is that Newsom's going to stay on in some capacity. I don't know if it'll be a senior vice president kind of territory or title, but he's going to be around. He's not going to be the guy in charge. That will be DaCosta, but to speak how good their relationship is, DaCosta wants Newsom around in some capacity to continue to be an asset for this organization, but that transition will officially take place in title come January, or whenever the Ravens season ends, they hope perhaps early February send Ozzie out on a winning note if things go extremely well for them this year.
Luke, I really appreciate your time. Enjoy the preseason and the start of the season. Very curious to see what happens with the Ravens this year. Thanks.
Should be very interesting. Thanks a lot.